You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening and watching us. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
I'm Chris.
And I am Kevin.
Yes, you all are. Excellent. Very, very good to have you guys here this evening, this morning, this afternoon, brunch time, whatever, whenever you're listening to us, that's where we're at with you.
Bath time?
Yeah, what?
Bath time?
Tea time. Tea time.
Tea time in the bath time. Bath time with the tea time, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Toilet time. That's fine too.
Like, wait, what's tea time? Like tea time or tea time?
Either one works.
Tea time.
Or, yeah, whatever. But we're here today to talk about something a little special. We want to talk about movie theater experiences. Just the overall quality. If things have changed since COVID has hit us the last couple years, if things have improved, if COVID even is a factor here, if things were bad before or good before or whatever, you know, we just want to talk about the quality of movie theaters and the experiences we've been having. We're all pretty big movie buffs, particularly because we're all pretty big comic book fans. So if you're a comic book fan, you're a pretty big movie buff because a lot of comic books are films now. And that's been more and more accurate as the years pass by. So with that, let's kind of get right to it. Kevin, you have the Cinerama Dome behind you. And for those that do not know, the Cinerama Dome was owned shortly by a company called ArcLight. Before that, it was Pacific Theaters, which is owned by the Decurion Company, which also owns ArcLight. So it's kind of been within the family for a while. The Cinerama Dome is one of the first and one of the very few still left Cinerama-style theaters. That it's a kind of a, what is it, a 180, about 180 degrees of picture that you see on the screen. You're sitting inside a circular dome, and about 180 degrees of it is screen, so you get enveloped. They have three different projectors up in the top that play the picture at certain parts of the film.
Yeah.
That you
it wasn't,
have
to, it wasn't the aspect ratio 8:2 or something like that?
Yeah, something different.
Yeah, but those special 70mm films.
Our pal Michael Celestino actually did a documentary on Cinerama, and you can find that on YouTube. I think called The Last Days of Cinerama or something like that.
Oh, I got to check it out. I haven't seen it yet. Oh, man.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I got to check it out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's pretty good. So with that, let's talk about this this theater quality, so to speak, of what we're seeing with movie theaters. Chris, you were just talking about, before we started, you were talking about you just went to see The Batman.
Yeah, that's correct. I went to The Batman. There was a whole four people in the theater. Perfect, just the way I like it. And, you know, it's you go in there, you know, they start playing the trailers. Lights are still on during the trailers. Can't really see the trailers. You know, you figure the lights are on, whatever like that. And then the movie starts. And it's still dark. I can't see faces. I can't see their eyes, their eyeballs. I mean, I know Batman's dark, but I should at least, you would think that a good director is going to at least make it so you can see their eyes or, you know, see where the body outline is. It just, everything was melding together and it just had this weird blue tint. And it's the whole big majority of the movie. It was just like, I could not make out half the things that were happening in the really dark scenes because, it was just so dark. I mean, it could have been that they had a 3D filter on. It could have. There are stories that theaters are using dimmer light bulbs to save money in their projectors. I mean, it could have just been a color issue. It could have been any number of things. But the problem is that all four of us in the theater had gone and talked to the manager, and nothing was done about it.
Really?
And that was the thing. At one point, they walked into the projection booth. They turned the light on and made a bright light shining over the theater. Nothing got fixed.
Ugh, that's awful.
And that's the worst part. It's just like all four of us took time out of missing part of the movie to complain 100% of the audience, and nothing was done about it.
Nothing was done.
They didn't even offer free food. They didn't offer free tickets. Nothing. They just was like, well, sorry. No explanation, nothing.
that poor experience is that you don't have union projectionists like you used to. They're using employees that they hire off the street, training them to run projection, and not training them the proper way like a union projectionist would do. So a lot of theaters are non-union theaters, and that's how you get treated in those style of theaters. And it's unfortunate. I had a very similar experience several times in the AMC theaters. One of them was the AMC 6 in Burbank, California. And that one was playing Dune, but the sound was only playing from the front speakers. And Dune is a very, the new Dune is a very visual, but a very auditorial
experience.
And for that to not happen, we had to go out and complain, and they came in to try to fix it. It was not fixed. And they were like, well, you know, this is just how it is for this film if you want to continue. So we just got up and left because we didn't want to ruin that experience for us. Another one I had was I went to see a film that was not in English. It was in Spanish. And the subtitles, they had set the film lower on the screen to where the subtitles were laying out on the, like, on the wall instead of on the actual screen. So you couldn't see what they were saying. So if you didn't know Spanish, which most of us in the theater did not, you were SOL. And that was in the AMC Burbank 16. So several experiences in AMC theaters in Burbank, California. Very odd, but I think they switch out employees or something or back and forth and stuff. It's probably the same Yahoo doing all this and not knowing what he or she is doing. And
so he's going from theater to theater doing that to you? Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, I mean, here's what I think might also be, like, at least at my experience yesterday. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of people, but there were two employees at the theater on a Sunday afternoon. So it could be like, you know, ghost crews running. I feel like maybe this whole not working for minimum wage thing might be affecting a little bit. Maybe. I don't know. But like two people, one person doing tickets and concessions, and they were also running the movies. So, you know, maybe it's a set and a timer and they're not even checking the projections and they're just everything's just going. Who knows? But there were two people there.
Yeah.
And there might have been a manager somewhere like doing
stuff. How big of a theater was this, Chris? How many like?
Well, it was a Regal, and I think there's like 14 or 15 screens. It's not a small theater. Oh, it's the only theater in the city. There's two theaters in the city, a Regal and an AMC. So.
My Lord. Wow. That's two people running it. That's awful.
I mean, again, there was only four people seeing the movie. But there was a pretty crowded when I left, and there was more people, but. It was, you know, a Sunday at noon, and everyone's at church Sunday at noon, so.
Okay, well, let me ask you, how was the quality of the theater, the cleanliness of the theater itself? And the.
I mean, the theater was nice. The seats were comfy. It was clean. Air conditioning was good. I had a bad experience. We're in Texas. I went and saw a movie theater in July last summer, and there's no AC. And I felt like, is this some new kind of immersive experience? Because the whole thing is about power going out. It was in the Heights. But things about power going out in the summertime and everyone being hot. I was like, are they trying some kind of a new immersive? Yeah. I was just like sweating watching this movie. So air conditioning was nice. It was a hot day out too. So it was nice. It was comfortable. Sound sounded great. It was literally just the video. But for a movie like that where, you know, there's such rich cinematography, it really had me start thinking, well, do I need to move to AMC? And I hate AMC.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Adobe Digital, which I'll flock to in a heartbeat. But just regular, like I have to choose between a Regal and an AMC regular. I'm always going to choose the Regal. But it had me questioning. It's like, do I want to go to AMC? Do I want to just give up movies? Do I want to just watch it at home?
Yeah.
Batman's going to be out in like 2 weeks, HBO Max. So like maybe, you know, do I just wait and then watch it at home where it's comfy? I can have the air conditioning when I want. I can eat whatever food I want. I can hear it. I can see it. I can have captions if I want.
Yeah. Kevin, you had a pretty positive experience with an AMC recently. Am I correct?
Yes. It was the one in Porter Ranch, which I believe has to be. It looks fairly new.
And that's theater. In California as well, correct?
Yes. It's in the San Fernando Valley in the, I guess you could say, a more affluent part of the city, shall we say.
Ooh, la, la.
So, you know, I was looking for Scream 5, and that was like the closest one, and it was the one at a time that was, you know, doable for me at the time. So I checked it out. I went to an early matinee one to pay, you know, obviously the, you know, lowest possible price, because we know they like to charge you more at those fancy high-end theaters. But it was pretty good. You know, the seats were nice and comfortable. You know, had the nice recliner seat. You know, the theater was clean. And, you know, I had a good experience.
Now, I've heard a lot of, particularly a lot of women complaining lately about the quality of the cleanliness in the bathrooms, particularly at the AMC theaters. Can you attest to going into the bathroom at all while you were there?
Yeah. When I went to the bathroom after the movie, I didn't see anything crazy. You know, it was, for the most part, pretty clean.
Yeah, because I think we can all attest to, having worked in movie theaters, most of us, some of those situations being nightmare scenarios. And I myself quit a movie theater when they said that I was going to have to clean the bathroom. I said, no, I said, I'm not one to say that I'm above something, but I'm definitely not getting paid enough to do that.
And because of all the horrible things that you tend to see in the bathrooms,
particularly in Hollywood, California. And, yes, and I know that all around the world and all over the U.S., you'll have terrible bathroom experiences in movie theaters. I know this, but I feel like Hollywood, California, I always akined Hollywood to Ghostbusters 2, where that kind of that pink slime was flowing under the city and it drove people nuts. I akin Hollywood to that. I feel like underneath Hollywood, there's this river of pink slime, and it just drives everybody crazy. I've seen in Hollywood bathrooms and theaters where someone made a nest out of toilet paper next to the toilet and used that instead.
Oh, God.
I've seen these things. You know what I'm saying? You can't unsee this stuff.
My buddy TJ and I, we went and saw you know, they hand out all the tickets to go see previews, and then they ask you the questions at the end. We went to one at the Big Burbank. I can't remember which theater that was in Burbank, the AMC, the big one,
16.
With the mall. And we went beforehand, we went and got Chipotle, and we were going to, like, sneak it in and eat it in the movie. But they were checking everyone's bags. So you can add eating a Chipotle burrito in the AMC bathroom. Scarfing it down really quick so we could get into the line and see the movie.
That's an interesting thing. I would not eat a burrito in a bathroom, period. I wouldn't eat in a bathroom. Somebody I know, their father would take his meals a lot of times in the bathroom, which I thought was a bit odd. But, you know, hey, when in Rome, I guess. I've never eaten a burrito in the bathroom or anything, really, that I can remember.
And kill two birds with one stone, you know, and just, you know, take a seat on the toilet, eat it.
In and out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've snunk, like, what's the biggest thing you've ever snunk in? I've snunk in 2 cans of soda and 4 candy bars before into a movie theater.
Wow, that's impressive.
It wasn't me, but in college, we had 40 day at the movie, right? So we'd sneak in 40s. My friend Stephen Thomas, however, he got really, really, like, he snuck an entire 12-pack underneath his coat.
Wow.
He just walked in like it was a beer belly. It literally was a beer belly. He just, like, walked in. Nobody said anything. Meanwhile, we're sitting there drinking our 40s, and he's drinking, like, popping these Bud Lights or whatever he snuck in. I was like, 12-pack, like, and underneath his winter jacket.
Two things. One, my friend Eric snuck in a 1/2 gallon of chocolate milk under his jacket.
Wow.
Into the
theater. Nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed. He was a big guy, and nobody noticed because he pinned it to the side of him a little bit, so he was clever. And another thing is there's a theater. It's called Downtown Independent in downtown Los Angeles. And they had a drink and speak thing where they had, it was Ninja Turtles and Back to the Future. And every time Raphael said damn, or the Ninja Turtles, like, said radical or dude or whatever, you took a drink. And then every time in Back to the Future where Doc says Great Scott, you took a drink. And I just remember after the first movie, the Ninja Turtles, I went to the bathroom and there was this dude just on the floor puking his guts out because he got so hammered following every rule, like to the letter with the Ninja Turtles, like drinking. And he had bought a bunch of beers because they have them for sale there. And I don't think they did that again. They didn't do a take a drink thing again because somebody had to clean it, you know?
And no one likes the clean puke.
No, no, not one damn person likes the clean puke. I can attest to that. There's not one person that goes, oh boy, goody, goody. Does anybody else, either of the two of you remember in school when someone would puke or something, they just put like this weird cat litter all over it and they just let it set?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yes. Matter of fact, even at the movie theater, we had the same thing. It was like this pinkish, type of cat littering looking
like,
material.
What the shit? Like, why?
Well, no, what it does is it dissolves the puke, or if there's blood or something, you know, whatever it is, they'll dissolve it and then it's easier to sweep up, you know, the material.
Right.
It's like actually,
hazard cleanser.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind having that in the house. That'd be cool to have, actually, because it's pretty effective. It's very effective.
Yeah, in case you shit yourself, right? Like,
absolutely.
All over absolutely. In the kitchen.
Absolutely.
If I had a nickel for every time Kevin shit in my kitchen, I'd have a shitload of nickels, let me tell you.
Okay.
Oh, Kevin.
Now, I have a point I want to bring up, and I want to see what you guys think. Now, over the last 2 years since COVID was running rampant around the world, it definitely affected movie theaters, because movie theaters were shut down for, at least 6 months or so before they started slowly reopening.
Uh-huh.
And when they did, you notice how it took time for things to kind of get back to normal, but things truly haven't gotten back to normal yet as far as box office. There's only a couple exceptions out there, movies that have really done pre-COVID numbers, like Spider-Man No Way Home and The Batman. But a lot of movies, you know, they decided to release them simultaneously on a particular streaming channel or network, or they were just having the movie theater for a little bit and then quick to online. For example, I think Dune suffered because they simultaneously had it like on HBO Max and at the movie theater. And I know that the director, rightfully so, was upset. And the same thing with Christopher Nolan back in 2020 with Tenet. You know, he was not happy. And I agree with him. You spent a lot of money. You spent a lot of money and effort on these movies, and those movies are meant to be a theater experience.
I would be more upset being the Dune guy than Christopher Nolan, because Tenet sucked.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like,
Tenet.
Dennis Villeneuve, you know, I saw it on HBO Max recently, and I said, oh man, I wish I watched this in the movie theater, because I felt this would have been an amazing movie to experience in a dark theater with the audio experience, with the visuals.
Exactly. That's why we got up and left, because we knew better.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was not worth the time or the effort to sit there and put up with that, for sure. And that's unfortunate. But yeah, I think the HBO being out on HBO, I think that also hurt the Suicide Squad movie as well, if I recall.
Oh, absolutely. And also, medium-sized movies that deserve, you know, a good theater experience are also affected by it. So the question is, this year will probably determine if there is a long-term future for small to medium films. And I hope there is. They deserve to have a shot at the box office.
Yeah.
You know, it can't just be about the big blockbusters. As fun as they are, you need balance. You need a nice romantic comedy. You need a nice drama. You need obviously good horror movies. You need a mixture of everything.
Do they make romantic comedies anymore? I don't think I've seen one in like years.
Yeah.
The thing that came out with Sandra Bullock and
Channing Tatum. It's called The Lost City.
It's kind of like Romance in the Stone from back in the day. It's kind of like that, it looks like.
Very much so. It's very good. I would highly recommend it. It may or may not still be in the theater. You'd have to.
It's still there. The Lost City's still in theaters.
Okay. So that one, I think, is a lot of fun. Another one that's basically gone now that I thought was very enjoyable, but was a pretty big budget action film, but it was also a lot of fun, was Uncharted.
Okay.
Which I sometimes cheekily call it Uncharted, because it's funny. Poop again. Poop jokes, yay.
What about the horror movie that I saw a trailer for? It looked really cool. When I saw Rotten Tomatoes, it has very, very, very excellent ratings. X.
Okay, so I saw that. No, thank you.
Really?
Yes.
Are you saying the critics are lying? 96% of them are just wrong?
Yes.
No, I'm going to say 96% of them just really like sex and movies.
That's what the movie's about?
Yes, in so much.
That's about bloodshed. About bloodshed.
It is, but it's. I called it torture porn for old perverts.
I see.
It's literally people getting murdered while making a porn.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's basically, if you took Boogie Nights and you added like a horror movie element to it.
Right, but yeah. The killer is terrible. It's like terribly thought out. It's just not good. That's what ruins it.
Wow.
They didn't have a good villain. They didn't have a good killer that they could create for the
film.
Would
you tell it to the director's face? And would you tell it to A24, the studio, the independent studio that produced it, to their face?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would tell A24 that I have better scripts at their disposal, probably for pretty cheap. And they should definitely check them out because they are available.
Well, the young man, Ty West, who directed the film, I think he'd be very upset that you're talking about him like that.
That's okay.
Everybody
has their own opinions, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure, again, like you said, there's a lot of critics that really enjoy the film. I'm sure there's a lot of people that did not enjoy that, and I am one of them. It is not a good film, and I stand by that.
I can't imagine watching that movie in a movie theater. I feel like that movie has to be one. It's a home release. Because you have no idea what's happening around you in that theater.
No.
Seeing a movie with that much sex.
I watched at the North Hollywood Lemley in California theater, which is more of an art house theater. And it was not packed, but it had a decent audience for such an unknown film, really. But it just wasn't good. I mean, I was like, and I paid for this. You know what I mean? Like, I normally, and I don't know if you, I think you have this, Chris. I don't think Kevin does, but I pay for the AMC, the AMC Plus or whatever it's called, which is you can see 3 movies per week, and it's a monthly fee of like $24. And you get 3 movies a week that you can watch, whatever movies you want, basically. And I do that. And sometimes there's some months where I don't see anything. And then there's other months where I just pack it, you know, and I'm like seeing a movie a day, basically. And so it balances out to where I end up getting value. Regal also has another pretty nice package like that.
Unlimited, that's what I have. And I like it. It's $18 and it's actually more like, works more like,
movie pass.
What was the movie pass?
Yeah.
Like movie pass, where you can see as many movies as a month as you want. You just can't see 2 at the same time.
Now, you pay the $18 fee. Is that for every theater or just for certain theaters?
It's for certain theaters, but I looked around and the theaters that I would go to, does it cover those? It covers the one here. It covers the one with my brother's house in Houston. It cover anywhere. It just doesn't really cover like the big ones with IMAX theaters and stuff like that. I'm not sure about New York or LA, but for what I needed, $18 one fit the bill.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So Chris, your concern about sex in movies, are you going to watch the NC-17 Blonde movie that's coming out with Ana de Armas as she plays Marilyn Monroe? It's getting a lot of hype and
probably not at the movie theater. I barely watched Batman at the movie theater. I'm probably going to take a break from the movie theater for a while.
Okay, so you're that concerned. All right.
Hey, so when you were talking about the quality of the screen and stuff, it reminds me of watching movies at the drive-in. There's still the Lynn Drive-In in Strasburg, Ohio, still exists. It's the second oldest, I believe, drive-in in the world.
Really?
And the first oldest in the U.S., if I recall.
How old is it? Like, what year did it open?
It's 70 some years old, 70 or 80 years old, something around there. I mean, it's been around a long time. And they have projectors. Up until a certain point, they did not have digital projectors. They still had the film projectors. And they were massive. They were the size of cars, like Volkswagen Beetles, basically, inside of a room. And they would run those projectors. And I knew whenever we were going to go see a movie, I was like, is this a dark film? Like, is there a lot of nighttime scenes? Okay, I'm not going to be able to see most of it. I already knew, you know what I mean? So I enjoyed oftentimes at the drive-in going to comedies and stuff because they were always usually brightly lit. But otherwise, if I went to see the Batman right now at that theater, I wouldn't be able to see anything either. It's just the way it is. Drive-ins are built that way. They don't have the projection strength usually for that kind of projection.
But this is a movie theater in 2022 that has a digital projection. It shouldn't have that problem. Part of me was wondering if they do it on purpose so that you'll pay the extra to go see RPX or go see it in their more expensive formats instead of paying the cheaper amount. I don't know.
That's not the case. I really do, because that would be a shame. But yeah, is there anything else, like any final thoughts you guys want to bring up on this? I do want to briefly mention that to piggyback, I do want to bring up, and I'm sorry to the Burbank theaters, the AMC, the AMC 16 Burbank, clean your seats. They're disgusting. Like, it just looks like someone shit their pants and slid off the seat on their way out. They're gross. They've been there since like 2000. Probably like 2006. So it's been there for 16 years or something. It's the same seat cloth. They're gross. They're nasty. Change your seats, please. I beg of you, change your seats or you're going to lose more and more people going there. I promise. But that's my big gear grinding, page turning, whatever you want to call it. Anybody else have anything they want to say before we wrap this up?
I just want to say I had fun at the drive-in theater 2 years ago that we went through, that a bunch of us went to. That was fun.
Yeah.
The double feature.
We did go to a tiki-based one, in Orange County. That was a lot of fun.
The last good experience I've had at a theater was seeing Aquaman at Alamo Draft House with you, Donald. So I think if what would keep me in the
Bumblebee.
No, it wasn't. No, we saw something else at Alamo. We saw Aquaman in IMAX.
Yeah.
We saw I don't remember what, but that was fun.
Bumblebee.
Yes, Bumblebee was actually a decent movie. But anyway, if I was to stay in movie theaters, I would, like, if I was in an area that had an Alamo, I'd go because I've never had a bad experience and they got food and they got beer and I never really seen a movie there that didn't look good. It's a good company.
Is beer important to have at the movie theater?
Depends on the movie.
Yeah, but it was fun. Yeah, I remember us going and we enjoyed it very much. It was me, you, and who else came with us? Somebody else. Anyway, that's a kind of sort of irrelevant there. But there was three of us, I think, that went to go see the movie. And we just had a really good time. And enjoyable. And I think that's the most important part, is creating a bit of pageantry for the theater so you know that you feel welcome and special. And that's important. So I want theaters to note that and to take that to heart, because I think even ArcLight forgot about that and the quality of their seats and theaters and food and everything.
And bathrooms.
Yeah, and bathrooms even. So with that, thank you for tuning in and listening and watching us. We are The Real Short Box. Please take some time to like and subscribe on our YouTube page. We do have an audio podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Blurberry, and a whole host of others that you can find us on. You can also find us on YouTube, of course. We do live podcasts through YouTube. You can find us. It's a lot of fun. We do those usually on Mondays, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. So if you get a chance, check us out. And if you don't, perhaps we'll see you
at the precious, homely, and always friendly comic book shop.
Or movie theater.
Or movie theater.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.